You know, our love for our pets, I think it's just as complicated as our love for people. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. And we're happy to have Patricia McConnell back with us, certified applied animal behaviorist, international speaker. She's spoken all over the world. She's an author and co-hosted with me, Calling All Pets, for 14 years. And her latest book, it's a dandy. It's called The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog. And in her book, she talks about how difficult it can be to overcome fears and anxiety. Both her dog Will and Patricia herself had to do both. And she takes us through a very personal journey. And there may have been a special animal in your life, maybe one that helped you get through some personal experiences, maybe trauma. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, titled The Larry Mueller Show. And Patricia, it's wonderful to see you again.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you what, we were together 14 years, and when I read your book, and it is a wonderful book, my jaw dropped. There were so many things I thought I knew about you pretty well, but there were a lot of things I didn't know about you.
Well, you know, we all have a backstory, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's so true that we all have a private life and a public life.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned from this book, which has been a 6-year journey since I started writing it, is it hasn't even been released yet. It comes out next week on the 21st. And so many people who have read it have come up to me and told me about traumas that they've lived through in their life and things they've done that they felt they needed to forgive themselves for. And it's very liberating if you're able, in the right context. You have to do it in the right time, in the right context. But if you have that, it's so liberating to just put it out there and be authentic and be yourself and not live in sort of fear and shame of who you really are.
Yeah. Well, you really are a good person. So.
Oh, thank you.
I tell you what, it had to have been difficult a little bit. No, not a little. Probably a lot difficult to write this.
It was. So people know what we're talking about. The book talks about, it starts with Willie coming to me as a puppy who, rather than helping me, as we all know how therapeutic dogs can be and many animals can be, and talked a lot about that. And Willie had, there was definitely that side to Willie, but at the same time, he came with behavioral problems that ended up setting me back and creating behavioral problems of my own. I mean, basically, I had a lot of trauma, as many people have in my early life, and Willie's startle response brought it out. I thought I'd healed. I thought I was better. And basically, Willie and I were like two PTSD 101 stories. I started writing it, Larry, for actually not to publish it. I started writing it as therapy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of research that makes it clear that writing is a very, very helpful thing to do.
Yeah.
To help understand yourself and perhaps move on, be the person you want to be. So I started doing that. And then during that process, there were a couple of books that helped me so much that after a couple of years, I started feeling like if I could write this into a book that helped one person, just one person, literally, as much as their book has helped me, it would be worth it.
Yeah, I can, and I'm sure you've already done that, even though the book is not officially out. A lot of people have read it, even, and myself, I thought about my own personal issues that I've had over the years, and it helped me think about those in different ways.
Oh, good. That's really heartening. I have heard that from other people, and it feels really good.
Well, let's talk about Will's behavior problems a bit.
Willie. A lot of people know Willie, you know, and he's just the most wonderful dog in the world, except when he's not. And he came as a little fluff ball of an adorable little border collie puppy at 8 weeks who loved people, just adored them, and was terrified of other dogs, absolutely terrified of them. And even as a very young dog, would bark and growl and snarl if he saw a dog from two blocks away. I mean, the first time I learned about that, I took him to a vet clinic for his first vet check. He was 8 weeks old, and he loved the vet, and he didn't care. Give me a shot.
Love people.
I love everything. Give me a shot. I don't care. And we walked out of the vet clinic, you know, exam room, just smiling and happy, and there was a Bichon Frise puppy.
A little guy.
A little tiny ice cream puff, right? You know, a little ice cream scoop of an adorable little fluff ball. And Willie went, and just lost it. This is an 8-week-old puppy. And so, one, he was terrified of other dogs. He had projectile diarrhea, which you'll be happy to hear. I edited out most descriptions of that. My editor was, please don't tell us anymore. Please take it out. I did. But worst for me, he had a startle response that was like a blender set on high all the time.
Yeah.
Every noise he heard that he didn't expect, he would leap up, barking, panicking, and it set me off because it turns out I have that too. Mm. And so rather than making me better at first, he made me worse.
Yeah. And as you wrote about in the book, you know, you look at him at that age and you think, oh my goodness,
yeah.
At that young age, what's it going to be like when he's...
Yeah. Yeah.
2 years old.
When he was 8 months old, I'd been working and working with him. And, you know, people who know my background, I should know how to deal with this, right?
Yeah.
And indeed I do, you know. So I worked really hard with him. But at 8 months of age, I have to tell you, he was so bad and I was having such a hard time, I thought about finding him another home. And there was a moment that I think I can talk about without dissolving into a puddle of tears, where I was talking about what to do, because was I the right home for him, you know? And maybe I wasn't, but I loved him so much. The good part of Willie was so good. He's like the best dog he's a dog everybody wants. Except when he was attacking another dog, or trying to anyway, or leaping up off the rug at night. So there was a moment, Larry, I looked at him and I looked in his eyes and I just felt like, I know this dog. I know the demons that he has inside of him because I have the same ones. And I just made this commitment. I am going to get help for myself, and I'm going to do everything I can to help both of us. And that's what I did.
Well, you know, we don't have to go into, without going into details, you were affected by some traumas as a young adult.
Yeah, no, I
and
don't.
And how did you dealt with them and probably not, well, how you
I
knew
buried,
what to do, but you kind of buried
I them. Buried them like a lot of us do. No, I don't mind talking about it. I mean, this is my first time, quote, coming out. I had a series of traumas, two of which involved sexual assault. I was violently raped at one point by a Vietnam veteran who I'm sure had PTSD himself. Mm-hmm. And I just buried it. That's part of the title of the book, The Education of Will, and it's about Willie, but it's also about willpower, and willpower not being enough to get you through some of these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's how I was brought up. That's how I was raised. My mother was British, and you don't talk about things, and you just soldier your way through, and you willpower your way through. And that got me through to some extent. You know, it does all of us. And I certainly have been able to function in the world. You know, I've done some stuff I'm pretty proud of.
I would guess. I would hope.
Yeah. But it took Willie to really teach me that there was a core of healing and forgiveness that I had never quite reached. And so that's what this book is about.
Yeah. Well, let's give another Patricia a chance to join us. Patricia,
absolutely.
In Dodgeville, thank you so much for calling.
Hello.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call in. I can relate so much to your guest. I had a lot of trauma as a small child starting at 9. And I got a dog from a shelter when I lived in California. She was 4 months old. She was part boxer and part shepherd. And she was my companion for 13 years until she died of cancer a couple years ago. But her and I were like, it was just her and I against the world. And I could handle anything as long as I had her by my side. She got me through a messy divorce. And she was, like I said, she was just my pal. And to this day, I miss her every single day. But, yeah, I can relate. And where can I buy this book?
Let's talk about that. You should be able to buy it anywhere. If you've got a local bookstore, I always recommend going to a local bookstore because they're wonderful. But you know what? If you don't, you can just go online.
It's pretty much everywhere.
You're everywhere.
You can find everywhere. I have a website just about the memoir. It's theeducationofwill.com. So you can go there. There are a whole bunch of buttons that you can click on to quote, pre-order, although as a wordsmith person, that's like, it's actually order, but you don't get it until next, but you get it next Tuesday. So, but yes, local bookstores are great. I'll be speaking at Arcadia Bookstore in Spring Green in April. Larry will talk a little later about, I have a book tour going on, but I just wanted to back up Patricia and say thank you. Thank you for telling us about your amazing, wonderful dog. And it's just such a beautiful story to hear how much your dog has helped you. I think that's such a common story and such an important one. You know, we often trivialize, I think the world tends to trivialize sometimes how important pets are, but they are critical to the mental health and survival of people like you who have survived really severe traumas, especially as a young child. And I'm so glad that you had that dog, and I love that we get a chance to celebrate that together.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one more question for you. I have a 2-year-old lab now, and she's in your book. Do you tell how you trained your dog, how you got her?
Oh, thank you for asking that question, because I don't. I do very briefly though. I when I originally was working on the book, I had a lot about dog training in it because that's what I'm used to writing.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the editors, there was like, no, this is a memoir. This is a slice of life. This is not a dog training book. But the good news, Patricia, is I do have other books that talk about it. I have a booklet called Feisty Fido. There are other resources out there. On my memoir site, I actually have a resource section where you can learn about other resources to working with reactive dogs. So good luck. Good luck with your dog. I'm sure you'll be fine.
And your book, The Other End of the Leash, I think is helpful to anyone who has a dog.
That was
a bestseller.
It's still selling really well. It's an author's dream.
I remember Germany happened to be a particularly good place for sales. China.
Yeah, actually, I'm happy to say The Education of Will is coming out in German soon, probably in April. So, yeah, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, and so again, your site, where does she?
So the memoir site is theeducationofwill.com, and my sort of regular dog training site is where you can get all of my books, including The Other End of the Leash, is patriciamcconnell.com.
Patriciamcconnell.com.
Just my name.
Thank you so much. And we are talking with the one and only Patricia McConnell about her latest book. It's called The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions, comments, and experiences. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're talking about the world of Patricia and Will.
We will not leave the studio until Gail Ambrosius personally feeds her chocolate. There will be chocolate, right, Larry?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm
I'll hang around to find out.
in the meantime, I'm going to challenge you a little bit because you said this is not a dog training book. But I tell you, there are so many wonderful experiences that you share as a trainer, and especially with dogs dealing with aggression issues. I learned an awful lot.
Oh, good, good. That makes me really happy. You know, one of my goals for writing this book was to make the point that dogs too can be traumatized. And, you know, animals can suffer from psychological trauma. We don't know if dogs can have PTSD. We can't ask them if they have flashbacks. We can't ask them what the content of their memories are, you know. But we know they can be psychologically traumatized. And one of the points I want to make and sort of spread around the world with this book is that dogs who have serious behavioral problems, they need support, they need compassion, they need understanding. I'm not saying they need to be spoiled, they don't need cookies for doing bad things, but they need to be helped. Most aggression, which is a behavior, is motivated by the emotion of fear.
Fear, yeah.
And you can force a dog or coerce a dog or punish a dog for barking, acting out, you know, barking at another, growling at a person. But you just usually what you do is you take away the warning signs, but you don't take away what's inside the dog.
Yeah.
You know. So thank you for saying that, because I really hope this helps people understand that animals can be psychologically traumatized, and even if they're not, they can be very fearful, and so much aggression that people, or so much behavior that people call aggression or misbehavior, is fear. And we need to take that fear away, not take the symptoms of it away.
Yeah, and you know, as you talk about, I mean, you were both going through a pretty tough time, and so the amount of effort and the amount of work on, frankly, both your parts.
Yeah.
Was enormous.
It was. I put a huge effort into him, obviously, and it was really tiring, I have to say. But I made that commitment because I just, like I said, what you know, the good part of Willie, he's just, I could just start sobbing right now, for heaven's sakes. I mean, he's just the best dog ever. And for me, I'm just a very lucky person. I married a wonderful man who's incredibly supportive.
Jim.
I found great therapists. One of whom, by the way, Mayor Chapman, will be speaking at Room of One's Own this Friday night, and I will be there. She has a new book out. She's phenomenal. Friday night, Room of One's Own, Mayor Chapman, a wonderful therapist who helped me so much. I went to a yoga master. I learned to meditate. I started gardening more. I mean, I did a whole range of things. From physical things to meditative things to psychological things to intellectual things. I read tons. So, yeah, it was a process. It was.
And PTSD, you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes you talk about how your brain gets rewired a little bit.
It's a
shock.
It's so important for people to understand, and this happens with mammals, with all mammals, too, is that, you know, what PTSD is it's when you get knocked out of your sort of normal range of behavior. And you know, we can all get shocked. We can all get scared of something. You know, something happens that really scares you. You get in a car accident, for example, and you're shaking and you're really shook. But 30% of people actually develop PTSD after car accidents. And it's usually ones that happen out of the blue. Things that happen out of the blue. One of the things that happened to me happened completely out of the blue. And things like that can throw you off the kilter so much that you can't, your resilience falls apart. You can't bounce back. Some people are more resilient than others. I wasn't resilient enough to bounce back. So people need to understand that once you get sort of pushed off of that center point, your brain literally changes. It becomes wired differently. Different areas of your brain become larger, some become smaller. The hippocampus shrinks. The amygdala gets more active, which is the center of fear and anger, which is why so many veterans, for example, who have really severe PTSD, of course, most of them don't, but, you know, the ones that do, they often suffer from tremendous fear and then attacks of rage and anger. I was lucky in some ways in that most of my symptoms seemed to be fear-related. I mean, I was afraid. I was afraid to walk into the dark, Larry. I couldn't walk into the dark.
You had to go into your barn every day.
Yeah, and there. I mean, I'm ashamed. I feel bad. I'm ashamed to tell you there were nights I couldn't feed my sheep.
Yeah, I know, and I felt it in every word you wrote in that book. Patricia McConnell, our guest today, and we have lots of callers online to visit with you. Still, you can join in, 1-800-642-1234. There's one more open line. And let's go to Ann in Madison next. Ann, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. And Patricia O'Connell, I've just always been such a fan of yours. It's kind of funny, just the topic that you were speaking about PTSD, in some form, various forms, I suffer from that at times, and it can be in the form of anger. And one particular night, I was suffering from great levels of anger, just kind of holding it within myself and just kind of praying for it to be released. And I was laying in bed, and my little dog came over.
Aww.
She doesn't do this. And she came over, and she made it very clear that she wanted to lay very close to me. So I laid her on my chest. And she just licked my hand, and she laid there for 2 hours.
Oh.
And all I did was just to breathe and just to feel this spirit that I felt that truly she was there as a comfort to me.
Oh.
In just that very, you know, just a difficult time. And I'm very intuitive, and that's, I guess, what I want to say is that how animals can be so intuitive to one's feelings and what a gift they are. And
yeah.
That's all I wanted to share, was just a blessing of my little dog. And, you know, that sometimes they just show up in these amazing ways. And yeah. And yes, that they are such a gift to one's mental health and that they're just priceless.
Ann, thanks for sharing that. We'll all be in tears here in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful story. And, you know, yes. And first of all, I'm sorry about what happened to you. I'm so glad your dog was there. And what a great story about how, you know, dogs are indeed highly emotional creatures. And there's, you know, there's some new, really good neurobiological evidence that they have the potential, the same kind of empathy that we do, which is very advanced for cognitive ability, and I think that's probably partly why we're so close to them. But what a wonderful story. And, you know, that's a story of the joys of my favorite drug, oxytocin. You know? Having your dog lie on your chest. And actually, I have a chest liar, Tootsie.
Mm-hmm.
It was our Cavalier King Charles Spaniel that we got from rescued from a puppy mill. Her job, the border collies have a lot of jobs. Her job is to lie on my chest and increase my levels of oxytocin. So my Tootsie says hello to your dog, and I'm so glad your dog was there for you.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it very much. Well, Brenda in Viroqua can join us now. Hi, Brenda. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Patricia. I just wanted to share an experience that I had with my horse. I struggled through several traumas growing up and into my young adulthood, and in my 30s, I'd always wanted to own a horse, so I bought a horse, and the horse I brought into my life was very traumatized.
Mm.
He was sold to me as Quiet, and by the third day I had him, he blew up and went pretty crazy, and to have a 1,200-pound animal at the end of a line that's going crazy was pretty scary.
Yeah.
So I started working with him, and I remember one time working with him, looking at him, thinking, oh, come on, we've gone over this so many times. It's okay. You know, you're going to be okay. Things are different now. Can you trust me? And I just got this sense that he said, you first.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it hit me like a ton of lead, and I had to put him away and think about that. And I said, okay, let's do this, Lord. And my horses, I have five now, and they have been incredibly healing in my life, and it's actually turned into a healing ministry for other people. And I have lots of people come out to my facility, and I do retreats, and it's been incredible. Never did I imagine that my wanting a horse one day would turn into this amazing ministry of healing and healing in my own life and being able to touch other people's lives
You know, I can actually think of how the horse looked when he said you first. I could picture that look.
What an image, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I got chills. That's just a beautiful story. And it really parallels, I think it partly resonates, I'm sure it does with all of us, but with me, because it was sort of the same thing with Willie. You know? It was like, I gotta get my stuff together before I can help this dog here. Larry, can we ask her?
Sure.
Tell us where you do your work, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, I'm in southwestern Wisconsin in a town called Viroqua. It's about 40 miles south of La Crosse. My facility is called St. Anthony's Ridge Horsemanship Center, and I started doing healing retreats last summer.
Well, yay for you, and that's a gorgeous area too, isn't it, Larry?
It is absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful.
So beautiful.
And you know, one more thing I just want to add is when I bought this horse, I didn't know what to call him. I called him Horse for several weeks, and it was just such an odd thing. And I come from a very strong Irish heritage, and so I've always liked the name Shay. And so I named him Shay, and I was, you know, going about my business and discovered that the name Shay in Gaelic means the gift.
Oh, well, that's pretty perfect.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's a lovely story. I've just got oxytocin just flowing through my veins here.
Now, what's the name of your place again?
St. Anthony's.
Yeah, St. Anthony's Ridge Horsemanship Center.
Oh. Brenda, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Oh, boy. Elaine in Princeton, let's give you a chance. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I'm calling because, you know, sometimes you find dogs that aren't in, you know, the dog that I have now was tied to a tree for 2 years and never really did anything, didn't play, didn't know commands, didn't know how to walk, didn't know how to walk on a leash with me. And I took so much time with this dog, and it ended up being the best dog I've ever had. You know, and to this day, she's now 6 years old, and to this day, she still doesn't know how to play. I can throw a ball, and she has no idea what to do with this ball.
Yeah.
But now she walks with me. She's a wonderful dog with children, everything. So I was so happy that I was able to rescue this dog from the way it lived and give it a whole new life. And it thanks me. This dog thanks me every day. It's just in such a much better place.
Oh, as well it should. Oh, yeah. There's a couple of things I want to say besides thank you, and what a wonderful thing you did. But there, I was so interested that you mentioned that the your dog doesn't play, because there seems to be, I wish somebody would, here's a PhD, Larry. Yeah, I'm always spinning off ideas for PhDs. There seems to be a window of opportunity. There seems to be a developmental period where dogs play as puppies and then continue that as adults. And if they don't get to do it during some time period, I don't know when it is, they don't ever play. Tootsie, our puppy mill dog who lived in a cage the size of a big bread box for 7 years, she never plays. She never plays. And I've seen dog after dog after dog who came out of that kind of circumstance who just doesn't play. You can work on them sometimes, and sometimes you can teach them to be object-oriented, but it is a very interesting phenomena. But what inspired you? How did you get this dog?
Well, my roommate knew a couple that was splitting up, and when they split up, they just left the dog in the house.
Oh.
And so the dog was just left there all by itself. So she told me about this dog, and I said, well, I have to meet it. I have to. I'm probably the only dog's hope besides going to the pound.
Yeah.
So when I met the dog was just beautiful and happy and this good dog.
Wow.
I thought, I'm going to give it a try. But there were a lot of times I cried my eyes out because it was so hard.
Been there. I so sympathize.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so hard. But, you know, the benefits I've received from this dog way outweigh what I went through.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. What a great story.
And I think, you know, your own experiences, there are a lot of things in your book that are sad, but there's also a lot of hope in your book. And I laugh, too, at times.
Yeah. life. Yeah. It's life, isn't it? A lot of life is sad, but a lot of it's happy.
And a lot of it, you can take a lot of inspiration from in the stories we're hearing today and in your book for certain. Thank you so much, Elaine, for calling. Karen in Camp Douglas, we'll turn to you. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Good morning, Larry. It's wonderful and great to talk to you, listen to you all the time. And Patricia, you as well. I've, you know, read your books and a great fan of yours. And I just love having that kind of kinship with you and probably half the listeners, more than half the listeners, our love of our dogs and our
animals. Thank you. Thank you.
It's very uplifting. I told the interviewer as I was waiting on hold there before I got to talk to you. I thought today was just extra special. I was listening to Larry the other day, and he mentioned that you were going to be on, and I just had to make it a point. You know, I listened anyway, but I really made it a point, and I thought, I'm going to call. But today would have been my dogs. I had a rescue dog, beautiful animal, who I named Metakala, who that his name means my friend in Lakota Sioux language. And he was just a beautiful, beautiful dog. He was left in a box with several other puppies on one of our highways and could have been killed, but
wow.
Good people brought him in. I had a relative who owned a pet shop at the time, and they brought him to her. And unbeknownst to me, I had been dogless for several years after losing a beloved Scottish Terrier and went on to... I had just been going through a phase where I kept thinking, I got to have a dog in my life again. I got to have a dog. So I had this dream and just holding a little fluffy white puppy. And I decided that I got to start looking for a dog again. I got to find a dog. Anyway, it brought me to my cousin's place, and she was telling about these pups that were abandoned, and she showed me a few of them, and they're cute. You know, they just weren't the right one. It wasn't the right one. And then she led me in the back of her shop, and there was the right one. Jumped into my arms. So fast forward many years later, in February, about 7 years ago, we had a horrific house fire.
Oh.
And we lost our Metakala in the fire.
Sorry.
I know. And we had counted back. When we had got him, we had no way of knowing how old he was. My cousin kind of guesstimated that he was about 6 weeks old. And when you count back those days from when I picked him up, it was Valentine's Day. So I thought, perfect. And he would have been, like I said, 16. We had, you know, 8 great years with him. He had just turned, you know, 8, and then we had the fire right after that.
Oh, boy.
But he was such an intuitive dog, one of the most smartest dogs I have ever had. I've had dogs all my life. But this dog, he just touched my life. He helped me through many tough times and still does. I break down because I loved him so much. And he was such a source of joy to my husband and myself.
Oh.
Yeah,
but
they're never really gone, are they? You know, Metakala will always live on.
Yep, they stay in your hearts. But I just wanted to agree with you, you know, and confirm what your message. They can bring so much to you. They can give you insight.
And they can be a source of joy and inspiration and can heal.
That's
can
right.
Can help you heal.
That's right,
As you write about in your book. You know, thank you so much, Karen, for being with us and calling in today with your comments. I really appreciate it. And before we run out of time, you've got some speaking engagements coming up, and people are going to see you kind of around the state.
It's the book tour boogie. Yeah, 2 weeks I'm just everywhere. But so next week actually starts officially. I'm in Milwaukee Monday night at the Radisson Hotel through the Wisconsin Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And Green Bay Tuesday the 21st. I'm at Barnes & Noble on Oneida Street. And here in Madison, I'll be speaking at A Room of One's Own Wednesday, February 22nd, 6 o'clock. So very happy to speak here in my stomping ground. And then the next morning I leave for Ohio and then off to...
All over the place.
Seattle and Denver and Portland.
Will you wind up in Germany ever to do a...
Gosh, I don't know. I don't have tickets there yet. I can
oh,
tell you that.
Man. Well, this, your book has certainly inspired me, and I wanted to tell people that this is your book, and it's about your experience, and it's about Will's experience. You did it together and through some sometimes horrific times when you were both injured. And Jim was injured. And trying to get through this process. But in the end, all that work.
Willie is so happy. He's 10 years old now. And he's so happy. I don't think he's ever been happier. And I'm good, too. I'm good. I'm really good. And I'm very grateful that all the people who helped inspire me were behind me so I can hopefully inspire some other people.
Yeah, and I'm sure you will.
I hope so. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Thank you so much, Patricia. It's been a real pleasure. And Patricia's book is called The Education of Will, A Mutual Memoir of a Woman and Her Dog, and it's published by, it's an imprint.
Atria, yeah, it's a Simon & Schuster imprint. It's Atria.
And as you say at the end of the book, they've had some great people to work with and some great editors, but you're a good writer to begin with. So.
Thank you. I have to say I worked really hard to up my writing. I just cherish good writing. I think it's amazing, and so I worked really hard to be a better writer than I was before.
And you know we have a link on our Facebook page, but go back to your sites. You've got one site just relating to the book.
Yeah, it's The Education of Will, just letters, theeducationofwill.com, or you can go to my regular website, patriciamcconnell.com, and learn more about the book.
And thanks again, Patricia.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
A real pleasure. Patricia McConnell and her book, The Education of Will. Wonderful book, and I enjoyed it. I had some tears sometimes, but I laughed, too, and I learned an awful lot. Don't let her kid you. It's not a dog training book, but I learned a lot about dog aggression, and she has many wonderful stories, scary in ways, about how she dealt with other dogs as well. It's not only about Will. It's about the many of the clients and the clients' dogs that she had to work with over the years, and I found that part also very fascinating. Thank you. Well, what do you think about chocolate? You like chocolate? I kind of like chocolate. And there's nobody I know who knows more about chocolate than Gail Ambrosius. And she is coming up next to talk with us about, and zero in a little bit on heirloom chocolates and preserving heirloom chocolates. That next here on the Ideas Network.